Hello, this is Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Welcome to the reading of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. We'll be reading for about an hour this morning, and if you have any questions or would like to contact us for any other reason, please call us at 919-832-5138. Okay, let's get started on travel. America's greatest road shows. Vacations are wonderful, but these quirky roadside attractions prove that getting there is often half the fun. My husband and I were driving down I-65, still in Tennessee, but near the Alabama border, when a statue of a giant chicken caught my eye. It was standing in front of a truck stop near Elkton. I am grateful to be married to a man who will instantly pull off the highway when someone says, "Hey, let's take a selfie with that chicken." That particular chicken is an advertisement for the Shady Lawn Truck Stop's fried chicken plate. It is wearing a chef's hat, its wings hold a giant fork, and a giant carving knife underneath them. The combination makes for a troubling message. Chicken has both dinner and diner. It also covered with graffiti, mostly people's names, but also exhortation to read more. Unlike the existential conflict at the heart of the chicken's identity, that's a message I had no trouble decoding. Between Nashville and the Alabama Gulf Coast, where my husband and I were heading, there are quite a few unusual roadside attractions. An actual NASA Saturn rocket, all 168 feet of it, is posed as if for a blast-off at the Alabama Welcome Center near Ardmore. The Ave Maria Grotto, where a Benedictine monk built 125 miniature replicas of famous buildings, religious sites and shrines, all made up in part from found objects such as cold cream jars, toilet floaters, occupies a four-acre park in Coleman. 55 miles south of this Jerusalem in miniature in Birmingham, the cosmology goes back even further. Rising above the city is a mammoth statue of Vulcan, the Roman god of fire and the forge. It is the world's largest iron statue. But during the years when I was growing up there, its fame lay primarily to its peculiar attire. Vulcan is wearing nothing but a blacksmith apron and knee-high sandals, and his bare buttocks shine a moon right at the adjacent city of Homewood. Perhaps because that image is still fresh in my mind, by the time the drivers reach I-65 reach Clinton County, center of the Alabama peach-growing region, it's hard not to see a connection between Birmingham's famous landmark and Chilton County's water tower, which was built in the shape of an authentic cleft peach. There's actually one of those outside of Atlanta, too. 10 miles down the road, as if to punish such thoughts, there's a billboard directing motorists to go to church or the devil will get you, that graced Interstate near Prattville for many decades before a storm knocked it down in 2016. In 2017, heavy rains kept the surrounding soil too wet for the necessary repairs. "The devil is trying to knock it all down, but we're going to get it back up," the son of the Montgomery man, who first erected the billboard, said in a told a reporter. Satan apparently lost the battle last year. The sign is now back in place, the original red-tailed devil intact, and the monstrous red scythe the devil is holding could easily take the Elkin chicken's carving knife in a fight. Nearby, Montgomery boasts the world's largest brick made of bricks. We don't stop to see it, but we did stop for five more giant chickens, some metal, some concrete, that were standing in front of various small-town establishments all over the interstate. These are some of the road-sized highlights along one of the stretches of highway, mind you. The peach-shaped water tower in Chilton County is half the size of the peachoid in Gaffney, South Carolina. The giant chicken outside Elkton has nothing of the world's largest prairie dog in Cactus Flat, South Dakota. I know because we stopped to see the prairie dog in 2006. We also stopped in Collinsville, Illinois, to see the world's largest catsup bottle. Both stops occurred on the way to Mount Rushmore, which my husband still calls the world's largest carving of presidential heads. All across the country stand an unaccountable number of homespun reminders that American ingenuity and wit have not been Walmartized out of existence. Think of Carhenge in Alliance, Nebraska, a replica of Stonehenge made entirely of vintage automobiles. Think of Dog Bark Park Inn in Cottonwood, Idaho, a bed and breakfast that doubles as the world's largest beagle. Think of the 13-foot-tall peanut smiling with Jimmy Carter-style teeth outside of Plains, Georgia, the world's largest ball of twine, claimed by Cawker City, Kansas, or Lenny, the world's only life-size chocolate moose, in Scarborough, Maine. Every state has them. Virtually every road in the country is the site of at least one. They are the most visible on leisurely summer road trips. When a detour to take a selfie with a chicken or to snicker at a 112-year-old statue's bare butt won't make anyone late to the cranberry relish or the Easter ham, but they are always there. Often meant to be advertisements for local enterprises, they are inevitably much more than the mercantile economy requires. They are also evidence that human imagination will always resist homogenation, and daring art isn't bound only in galleries and museums, that wit and wile are everywhere among us. When interstates exist, exits are marked by the instantly recognizable icons of a dozen fast food restaurants and gas stations supplied by the same multinational oil companies. The giant roadside chickens will always remind us of who we are. Here's a few laugh lines. Proud to announce my dream of becoming a criminal lawyer is halfway completed. Just working on the lawyer part now. You could tell which inmates were involved in organized crime because their cells are much neater than the other prisoners. Whenever I watch Forensic Files and realize I've already seen the episode, I get so mad I could poison someone in small amounts every day for 6 months. Did you know you have the right to remain silent even when you're not being arrested? Just remember, when the jury is deciding between premeditated murder and manslaughter, it's the thought that counts. Saw a police officer dressed as a pilot today and thought that was weird. Then I realized he must be one of those plainclothes cops, P-L-A-N-E. Oh, that's terrible. Now, something a little more serious. National interest. Are surgery centers safe? And there's a picture of a building that's surgery center, but it looks kind of fly-by-nightish. They are less expensive than hospitals, but when a facility isn't equipped to handle an emergency, the consequences can be deadly. The surgery went fine. Her doctors left for the day. 4 hours later, Paulina Tayeb started gasping for air. Internal bleeding was cutting off her windpipe, a well-known complication of the spine surgery she had undergone. But a Medicare inspection report says that nobody who remained on duty that evening at the Northern California Surgery Center could help. In desperation, a nurse did something that would not happen in a hospital. She dialed 911. By the time an ambulance delivered Tam to the emergency room, the 58-year-old mother of three was lifeless, according to the report. If Tam had been operated on at a hospital, a few simple steps could have saved her life. But like hundreds of thousands of patients each year, Tam went to one of the nation's 5,600-plus surgery centers. Surgery centers were created nearly 50 years ago as low-cost alternatives for minor procedures. They now outnumber hospitals, as federal regulators have signed off on an ever-widening array of outpatient surgeries in an effort to cut federal health care costs. Thousands of times each year, these centers call 911 when patients experience complications ranging from minor to fatal. Yet no one knows how many people die as a result of those complications, because no national authority tracks the tragic outcomes. An investigation by Kaiser Health News and the USA Today Network in March 2018 discovered that more than 260 patients have died since 2013 after in-and-out procedures have been done at surgery centers across the country. Dozens of people, some as young as 2 years old, have perished after routine procedures such as tonsillectomies and colonoscopies. The investigation, which involved examination of more than 12,000 state and Medicare inspection records and interviews with dozens of doctors, health policy experts, and patients, revealed some startling trends. Chief among them, at least 14 patients of the more than 260, counting Tam, died after complex spinal surgeries. At least 25 people with a variety of underlying medical conditions left surgery centers and died within minutes or days. They included an Ohio woman with out-of-control blood pressure, a 49-year-old West Virginia man awaiting a heart transplant, and several children with sleep apnea. Medicare does require surgery centers to line up local hospitals to take their patients when emergencies arise. But in rural areas, centers can be more than 20 miles away from a hospital. Even when one is close, 20 to 30 minutes can pass between a 911 call and an arrival at an ER. Surgery carries risk no matter where it occurs, and most operations done in surgery centers go off without a hitch. Some centers have state-of-the-art equipment and highly trained staff that are better prepared to handle emergencies. But the Kaiser USA Today study found that more than a dozen cases in which the absence of trained staff or emergency equipment appears to have put spine surgery patients in peril. And in cases similar to TAM's, patients who had surgery on their upper spines have been sent home too soon with the risk of suffocation looming. In 2008, a 35-year-old Oregon father of three struggled for air, pounding the car roof in frustration while his wife sped him to a hospital. Another Oregon man began to suffocate in his living room from the night of his upper spine surgery in 2014. A San Diego man gasped like a fish, his wife recalled, as they waited for an ambulance on April 18, 2016. None of them survived. Many in the healthcare field, from doctors to private insurance companies and Medicare, have dismissed the mounting deaths as a medical anomalies beyond the control of physicians. Responding to lawsuits around the nation, surgery centers have argued that fatal complications were among the known outcomes of such surgeries. Two centers blame patients for negligence in their own demise. Bill Prentice, chief executive and officer of the Ambulatory Surgery Center Association, said he has seen no data proving surgery centers are less safe than hospitals. The human body is a mysterious thing, and a patient that has met every possible protocol can walk in that day and still have something unimaginable happening to them that has nothing to do with the care that's being provided, he said. However, Kenneth Rothschild, M.D., a board member of the Physician Patient Alliance for Health and Safety, said many surgery centers and physicians push the envelope on how much care can be done in outpatient centers. Surgery centers are not hospitals, he said. They have different resources and different equipment. Rebecca Shaw, 67, had gone to Oak Tree Surgery Center in Edison, New Jersey, for a simple colonoscopy. After receiving the standard anesthetic, she stopped breathing. The anesthesiologist, Yuri Yim, M.D., later testified that she came up empty-handed when she tried to find the right-sized airway tube for Shaw, according to an ongoing lawsuit. Dr. Yim tried a variety of methods to help Shaw breathe, with limited success. Paramedics responding to the center's 911 call ultimately had to use a video glidoscope, equipment the surgery center didn't have, to see inside Shaw's throat, according to testimony. What's more, paramedics testified that Dr. Yim refused to move away from Shaw and allow them to attempt life-saving measures. An expert for the surgery center said Shaw's airway was obstructed and was cleared around the time the paramedics arrived. He said the glidescope is not required in New Jersey, nor would it likely have made a difference. Shaw's family has settled a lawsuit against the center, which denied wrongdoing, under confidential terms. An expert for Dr. Yim, however, said that her actions were appropriate, and if a glidescope had been there at the center, and would probably not be discussing this case at all. Instead, from the moment Shaw stopped breathing in the operating table, 33 minutes passed before a paramedic effectively inserted a breathing tube, according to medical and EMS records. By then, the family claims it was too late. Shaw was removed from life support at a nearby hospital 2 days later. She died on Christmas Day, 2015. The explosive growth of surgery centers, which receive $4.3 billion a year from Medicare, has taken place under circumstances some medical experts considered unseemly. Federal law allows surgery center doctors, unlike others, to steer patients to facilities they own rather than a full-service hospital down the street. In some cases, doing so could increase the risk to a patient, but double a physician's profits. Doctors who own the share of a center can earn their own fee, plus a cut of the facility's fee, a meaningful sum for operations that could cost $100,000 or more. Prentice said physicians' ownership of surgery centers is a good thing. The physicians who practice there are responsible for everything that happens in surgery, from the moment the patient walks out of their care in the parking lot to the moment they leave, he said. But several studies have shown that surgery center doctors who are owners perform operations more frequently than those who aren't owners. And in lawsuits across the country, surgery center doctors have been accused of taking risks with patients. Larry Teuber, M.D., a South Dakota neurosurgeon who worked as an executive in the surgery center industry for 22 years, said he has watched surgery center owners take on increasingly complex and lucrative orthopedic and spinal surgeries, undercutting a nearby hospital's profits for their own gain. "The money overshadows everything," Dr. Teuber says. The first surgery center in the United States opened in Phoenix in 1970, In 1982, Medicare began paying for the procedures at these centers, which helped drive their expansion. Today, there are more than 5,600 Medicare-certified centers. The expansion has come despite lingering safety concerns. In 2007, Medicare noted that surgery centers have neither patient safety standards consistent with those in place in hospitals, nor they're required to have the trained staff and equipment needed to provide the breadth and intensity of care. Some procedures are unsafe to be handled at surgery centers, the report concluded. While the thrum of a hospital continues through the night, some centers' doctors keep banker's hours. That means patients whose surgery end later in the day are sometimes left in the care of one or two nurses for up to 23 hours. Medicare advises the centers to transfer patients to hospitals when emergencies arise. Only a third of surgery centers participate in a voluntary effort to report how often that happens. They sent at least 7,000 patients to the hospital in the year that ended September 2017, a Kaiser Health News analysis shows. One of the saddest cases reviewed by investigators in the investigation happened in 2016 at Westlake Surgery Center in Iowa. The paramedics arrived as staff tried to revive 12-year-old Ruben Van Veldhuizen after he experienced complications during a tonsillectomy, according to a Medicare inspection report. One paramedic said state inspectors she had to ask who was in charge of the resuscitation efforts. No one replied, the report says. The boy made it to the hospital 37 minutes after his surgery center called 911. There he was pronounced dead. The family filed suit, alleging that the center and anesthesiologist erred in giving the boy an anesthetic that carried a warning about cardiac arrest in young boys. In court filings, the surgery center and anesthesiologist said Van Veldhuizen's death was a result of pre-existing conditions, acts of others, or conditions over which the defendants had no current responsibility. Such tragedies rarely find their way into discussion when Medicare decides whether to approve a new procedures at surgery centers. For instance, until 2015, Medicare wouldn't pay for spinal operations at surgery centers. Then the Industry's Trade Association urged the agency to make a change and encouraged its members to start a campaign. Letter writers include Alan Venezio, M.D., who said he'd been doing such surgeries for 12 years and found his patients appreciate the convenience and cost savings. He did not mention that James Long, 56, had died 3 weeks earlier after spinal surgery at a Lafayette, Colorado surgery center where he is an owner. Health Department and Medical Board records show. United Surgical Partners International, a surgery center chain, urged the approval of even more procedures, not mentioning a patient death hours after a spine surgery at one of its affiliate centers several months before, according to court records and securities filings. The chain said in a statement that it stands behind its comments in support of the proposal. Such letters carry weight with Medicare, which approved procedures in surgery centers based on the invasiveness and complexity of the surgery and on input from stakeholders. But Robert Beatty Walters, an attorney based in Portland, Oregon, who has represented the families of three people who died after the spine procedures at surgery centers, said Medicare's decision-making process is not even-handed. The stakeholders, they call them, during these regulatory proceedings are the profit makers, not the people who are being provided the service, he said. Medicare approved 10 spine surgical procedures and to be billed at surgery centers starting in 2015 and added more in 2017. In an email, a spokesperson for Medicare said that it had received no comments suggesting the procedure should pose a threat to patients. Yet in 2014, Paulina Tam had died after a spinal procedure at the Fremont Surgery Center. Tam had finished careers as a nurse and as an educator and planned to travel the world with her husband of 32 years. She was the driving force of the family, the spirit, said her son, Eric Tam, M.D., of New York City. We didn't expect the worst to happen. Pain from a car crash had bothered Tam for years. Her doctor scheduled her for a procedure to replace two discs in her upper spine on April 7, 2014. Any such surgery, entering from the front of the neck to address pain in the spine, comes with risk of suffocation, according to the Medicare inspection report. About four hours after her procedure, Tam told a nurse that her surgical collar felt too tight. Then she said she couldn't breathe. With her surgeon and anesthesiologist already gone for the day, the only doctor on site was a digestive health specialist, the inspection report shows. A nurse called a code blue just after 6:30 p.m., records say. Medical experts say the first step in helping such patients is removing the surgical staples so the pooled blood can disperse, allowing the patient to breathe. In Tam's case, staff repeatedly tried and failed to insert a breathing tube through her mouth and into her airway, the inspection report shows. A last-dash remedy would have been to punch a hole through the front of her throat to ensure breathing, but the gastroenterologist later told an inspector that he wasn't prepared to do so. The inability to perform the suffocation rescue maneuver, the inspection's report said, amounted to the senior's failure to ensure patient safety. From a time a nurse called 911, it took 24 minutes to get Tam to the nearest hospital, EMS records show. She arrived without a pulse and remained on life support overnight as the children raced to her bedside to say goodbye. Tam's surgeon filed pleadings in court saying Tam's carelessness and negligence caused her death. It's unclear what the defense meant by negligence. The case reached a confidential settlement after Tam's death. The center told Medicare inspectors that a qualified doctor would stay on site overnight after all upper spine cases. Nancy Epstein, M.D., chief of neurosurgical and spinal care at New York University's Winthrop Hospital, said surgery centers doing delicate work near the spinal cord, windpipe, and esophagus in a same-day procedure is a pretty revolting. But she said the centers are making so much money, kneeling it in hand over fist, that potential dangers are being ignored. Medically, it should be tolerated, she said. Should not be tolerated, she said, but it is. Editor's note, in July 2018, Medicare announced it is reviewing its approval of 38 procedures at surgery centers. You can't have fries with that. The only state capital without a McDonald's within city limits, Montpelier, Vermont. There's no Burger King either. Now we go to the genius section, which, of course, I like because I'm a genius. I'm just kidding. I'm not. Anyway, it sharpens your mind. Jazz up your brain. It sounds illogical, but you can learn to improvise better in daily life. All it takes is practice. Fingers grace a keyboard poised to play. A trumpet rises to the lips. Drumsticks perch in the air. What comes next? No one knows. The beauty of jazz is the way improvisation is entwined with art. Each instrument capable of hijacking the melody and reinventing it in ways even the musician doesn't understand. Or as trumpeter Miles Davis put it, I'll play it and tell you what it is later. Charles Lim has a far more scientific description. That's not just phenomenal music, that's for phenomenal neurobiology. A neuroscientist at the University of California, San Francisco, and an accomplished jazz musician, Lim has long been fascinated by the genesis of creativity. Improvisational jazz, he believes, is essentially pure creation in action. It's what can happen when the brain is freed from having to follow rules it simply invents. I had always intuitively understood that the creative process in jazz improvisation is very different from the process of memorization, he explains. When you hear great jazz like John Coltrane or Miles Davis, it has this jaw-dropping quality to it, and what has been described as a sound of surprise takes place. And you think to yourself, wow. So Lim looked for a way to study what happens to the brain when it turns inspiration into creation. Find the right key, he believed, and science could one day unlock secrets to any kind of creativity, whether it's artistic or something more ordinary, such as a better solution for organizing your day. To see whether he could quantify the seemingly ineffable way the brain creates, Lim asked jazz musicians to play a memorized song while their brains were scanned with a functional MRI. When the musicians were scanned while they were riffing to compare the differences, the results published in 2008 were fascinating. When the musicians improvised, the part of the brain that allows humans to express ourselves, the medial prefrontal cortex, became more active. At the same time, the part of the brain responsible for self-inhibition and control, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, became dormant. And in other words, in order to improvise successfully, the musicians needed to turn off part of their brains responsible for self-monitoring, Lim says. If you're too self-conscious, it's very hard to free creativity. Jazz musicians aren't the only folks whose brains show unique signs of creativity unleashed. In the past decade, the field of improvisational neuroscience has expanded to peer inside the brains of rappers, classical musicians, stand-up comics, caricature artists, writers, and even so-called divergent thinkers, people who are excellent at thinking on their feet. The studies consistently show a difference between people's brains when they are improvising and when they are not. So we're quite convinced, Lamb notes, that the state of creativity is a different functional brain state, and it's measurable. One of the five first myths that this research has debunked is right brain people are more creative while left brain people are more analytical. In fact, analysis of brain activity of more than 1,000 people revealed that no one has a dominant side of the brain. Everyone uses the networks in both left and right sides, and both sides of the brain are intimately involved in creativity and change. Another debunked myth, the ability to create on the fly is a talent only certain people have, and they have it from birth. Rather, research finds that best improvisers are those who have honed their skill over hundreds of hours of practice, explains Rex Jung, professor of neurosurgery at the University of New Mexico, who studies aptitude, intelligence, and creativity. The more time you devote to developing a skill set, the more raw material you have to draw on, and the easier it is to improvise. The more paintings you have done, the faster you can identify which colors will mix well. The more jokes you have told, the easier it is to know which punchlines will draw the most laughs. Moreover, although it seems a little counterintuitive, improvisation itself is a skill that you can improve with practice. In a 2018 study at Columbia University, researchers showed that musicians who regularly practice improvisation were better at it and more quickly able to change chords in a piece of music while maintaining a pleasant harmony than musicians who were accustomed to just following what was written. Science has also demonstrated that improvisational creativity is not restricted to the arts. Lim says that the idea of responding to something that we didn't anticipate happening is a fundamental attribute of what means to be human. Humans are hardwired to create. The creative brain state that Lim has documented in musicians, comedians, and artists is similar to that of athletes. In the zone, who turn off self-monitoring part of their brains and use their instincts about which shots to take. This mindset is also what we employ in daily life to deal with unexpected occurrences. Faced with a delayed train, for instance, we might decide to walk or take the bus. Or realizing that we're out of lemons while we're cooking, we might substitute a lime or something else. Everyone is creative. It's just a matter of degree, says Jung. We have this prototypical idea of artistic creativity, but we are creative in our relationships, our work, our cooking, or even arranging our homes in a different way. To train your brain to think creatively, then, look for ways to improvise your daily life. Improv comedian Anthony Vinizzali practices this with his daughter by giving her a yes day. For one day, as long as she doesn't hurt anyone, they will do anything she wants. Have ice cream for breakfast, go swimming, visit a local park. This sort of exercise is just as important to your health as the physical kind. Lim notes that the creative brain is generally more an activated brain than a non-creative one, and an activated brain is generally better able to ward off forgetfulness, absent-mindedness, and even dementia. Six-word challenge. What would you grab in a fire? Burial flag for my grandfather's casket, Shannon Basiski, and go Anoka, Minnesota. My trip is in their cell phones. Anita Hanley, Boston, Massachusetts. I would grab my family's hands, Elsie Klemscher, LaGrange, Illinois. My glasses, my two sons, and two blankets, April Edmund Lucas, Lock Haven, Minnesota. My beloved box of oily rags, George Raymond, Los Angeles, California, collected from our Reader Digest readers via Facebook and the TMB Inner Circle. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. Get smarter about your smartphone. Unlock the full power of your phone to simplify everyday tasks, protect your privacy, help your healthy, and more. And if you're in the market for a new model, use our ratings and expert guide to save hundreds. And there's a picture of a whole bunch of hands holding up a whole bunch of phones. There's the Apple XR at $750, the OnePlus 6 at $560, the Google Pixel XL at $390, the Apple iPhone 7 at $450, the Apple iPhone X5 at $1,100, the LG G4 at $480, the Sony Emperor Z81 X21 Compact at $360, the Samsung Galaxy Notes at 1,000, the Google Pixel Note 3 at 800, the Samsung Galaxy 5 at 606. Smartphones have been widely available for less than 20 years. In that short time, the telephone has been transformed from a way to stay in touch into a device that's essential to most of our lives. If you don't agree, just try going without it for a day. Yes, it's still our connection to our family and friends and everyone else in our contact list. But it's also our photo album, our gateway to music, movies, and books, and our camera, map, wallet, calendar, newspaper, flashlight, and yes, maybe even the keys to our house. As anyone who has recently shopped for a smartphone knows, this virtual fifth appendage does not come cheap. The starting price for the newest premium phones from Apple and Samsung hovers around $1,000. If you prefer a model with extra-large screen and more generous storage, you'll pay even more. But you can pay a lot less and still get a lot of phone. And the following pages will tell you how to squeeze more life out of the phone you're using and how to save on our new as good as new model. We'll also share loads of useful things your smartphone can do that you probably didn't know about. To help you choose the best phone for you, we also provide the latest smartphone ratings. Extend the life of your phone. Consumers have begun holding onto their cell phones for nearly 3 years, which is much as half a year longer than they did 2 years ago, according to Hilo Mobile, a Texas-based company that collects and sells trade-ins. That's not only because new phones are much more expensive, but also because the free phones, and that's in parentheses, wireless carriers once used to entice people into signing multi-year service contracts, are a thing of the past. Keeping your phone longer doesn't just save you money, it also helps save the planet by reducing the greenhouse gases that are produced in making a new cell phone. Before you rush out to buy a new model, consider whether your current phone is still meeting your needs. If it is, there are ways to keep it running longer. First, update the operating system. This will install the latest security protections along with potentially fun and useful new features. It can also speed up a sluggish phone. If the phone is too old to accept the latest update, it's time to spring for a new one. Replace the battery. For the average user, a smartphone's battery performance will start to decline after about 2 years, says Richard Fisco, CR's head of smartphone testing. In general, the more frequently you charge the phone, the faster this will happen. If your battery is running out of juice too quickly, and you can usually get a new one for less than $100. Swap in a new screen. Scratches and cracks can easily be fixed with a new screen. Though replacing the screen on the fanciest phone can cost more than $300, you can make older models look like new for half that much or even less. Increase your storage space. An easy way to free up space is to delete any apps you never or rarely use, and offload your phones to a cloud storage device offered by Amazon, Apple, Google, or other companies. Many phones made by Samsung, LG, and others let you expand your storage capacity by stowing apps, photos, and other items on micro SD cards, which can be purchased for as little as $10. Spend less on a new model. If it's time to buy a new phone, a highly rated model can be far less expensive than you might think. Here are some strategies you can use to find a phone that won't empty your wallet. Buy an older version. Purchasing a new phone from an earlier generation can be a great way to save money, especially if you have your heart set on a pricey Apple or a Samsung. For example, the Samsung Galaxy S8 started at $720 when it launched in the spring of 2017, but now you can pick one up for about $600. Though the S8 has fewer camera tricks and slightly slower processor and is a little more prone to breaking than the S9, it's still highly rated. Always research prices before you buy. You might find a deal that makes the S9 a better buy. If you're looking for even greater savings, considering a two-year-old phone, the 32-gigabyte iPhone 7, which people stood in line to buy for $650 in the fall of 2016, now costs $450 at Apple and is still highly rated by CR. Better yet, Fisco says, you're not necessarily sacrificing much when you purchase a model that's a year or two old, because manufacturers are no longer adding must-have features with each new upgrade. A few years ago, smartphones were evolving rapidly, adding multiple features with each new generation, Fisco says. That's no longer the case. Though screens on this year's phones may be a little sharper and the processors a little faster, you may not want to spend an extra couple hundred bucks for those features, says Xiong Nguyen, a senior principal analyst for the tech research firm Gartner. For the typical consumer, these differences are unnoticeable. According to data from Gap Intelligence, which tracks the cost of consumer electronics, the prices of older smartphones drop with a new model's release. The big phone makers tend to launch new models at about the same time every year, letting you plan ahead. Samsung typically unveils phones in early spring and late summer, and Apple announces its new offers in September. Consider all brands. Apple and Samsung are the biggest names in the smartphone business, but they're not only companies that make great phones. LG, Google, Sony, and OnePlus also manufacture top-rated models with cutting-edge displays, speedy processors, and excellent battery life. Buying one of these can save you a lot. If you're willing to give up the most popular brands and accept slightly less stellar camera performances and perhaps a plastic casing, the most expensive phones don't always give you the most for your money, Fisco says. A mid-tier model can provide many people with everything they need. Determine which features you want in your next phone, then compare the models for that those features side by side. Can't do without an OLED display? Take a look at Apple's $900 iPhone X and Samsung's 720 Galaxy S9. But don't overlook the $530 OnePlus 6, which launched in May and scored a very good in CR's testing. It has an all-glass body, an OLED display, and Qualcomm's latest processor, providing much of what you get in phones that cost nearly twice as much. The Pixel 3, Google's latest flagship phone, costs $200 less than the iPhone XS, but has many of the same premium features. The Pixel 3 has just one rear camera, but our tester says it's great for taking still images. The phone has an OLED display, and like the other Android devices, comes with Google Assistant. The upside of buying used. Refurbished phones are used models that have been freshened up, to one degree or another, to be resold usually at a lower price than the new models. About 4% of CR's readers who participated in a spring 2018 survey reported buying a refurbished phone after January 1, 2016. Maybe more consumers could follow suit. 67% of respondents with refurbished phones had no complaints, which is roughly the same as the readers who bought new models. For people looking to buy a refurbished phone, considered cellular, consumer cellular, eBay, Apple Store, and Amazon are safe bets. All received an 85 or higher for overall satisfaction on refurbished phone retailer ratings. Refurbished phones can come with significant savings. Samsung, for example, was recently offering the refurbished Galaxy S8 for $450 on its website, compared with $600 for a new phone. Apple was offering the refurbished 7 Plus for $480, compared with $570 for a new one. But not all retailers refurbish phones the same way. Refurbished phones sold at Apple stores and on its website have a new battery, new outer shell, new white box, and even a new one-year warranty in case anything goes wrong. Samsung uses similar standards for its refurbished phones sold on its website. But refurbished phones offered by some retailers may not have new batteries, or could be packaged without a pair of headphones, or even charging cord. So before buying a refurbished phone, always inquire about the condition, the return policy, and whether it's covered by a warranty. Pick the wrong option and you might end up stuck with a buggy phone that looks and feels well used, when only the best will do. Though you can certainly get along very well without one, it's hard to go wrong buying a top-of-the-line smartphone. Three of the four that we've tested in the $1,000 or more price range rated excellent. The fourth one rated very good. One of the newest premium models, the Apple iPhone XS Mask, $1,100, has a better camera and with a 6.5-inch screen is considerably bigger than the 2017 iPhone X. Apple says that the XS Max's admittedly gorgeous display is superior to that of the X, but we had a rough time seeing any difference. The Samsung Galaxy Note 9, $1,000, is a new Android phone option with a 6.4-inch display that will also appeal to big phone fans. It comes with a stylus for taking notes by hand or just doodling on the lock screen. The brilliant display is perfect for binge-watching your favorite shows, and the phone sports Samsung's best cameras. If you need any further justification for such a pricey investment, consider it as a way to future-proof your purchase. Experts don't expect smartphone features to change much over the next 2 years, so it makes may make sense to put your money into a model that's likely to serve you well, at least until the world embraces 5G speeds. You may be able to find a discount on one of the top-shelf phones, but shop carefully. The appealing price you see in an ad may come with a string, such as carriers offering discounts to coax people into financing agreement that ties them to the carrier for a couple of years. In some cases, carriers will subsidize the cost of a new phone with trade-in offers, and others will serve up a buy-one-get-one-free deal, essentially two phones for the price of one. The catch? You can get the deal only if you're adding a new line of service. Of course, you do need to add a line for your spouse, kid, or retired parent. You can make sense to pick up a popular phone for cheap in the process. Independent retailers such as Target and Best Buy generally don't sell new models at bargain prices, but they do sometimes throw in a gift card to get you to buy the latest Apple or Samsung smartphone from them. Just make sure it's a card from a place where you like to shop. In that case, it's as good as cash in your pocket. More power to you. Want a phone that won't quit before you do? These 10 recommended models have the longest battery life of all the phones in our rating. The Motorola Moto 23 Play, $500, goes for 42 hours. The Motorola Moto Z2 Play, $410, 31 hours. The Samsung Galaxy S8 Active 850, 30 and a half hours. Samsung Galaxy Note 9, $1,000, 29 hours. The Huawei Mate 10 Pro, $500, 28 and a half hours. The LG V40 ThinQ 960 goes for 27 hours. The Huawei Mate 9, $430, 27 hours. The LG V35 ThinQ 650, 27 hours. The Apple iPhone XS Max, $1,100, 26 hours. And the Samsung Galaxy S8, $600, also goes for 26 hours. Mobile phone milestones. 1946. Dick Tracy's two-way whist radio appears almost 70 years before the Apple Watch. 1965. Wearable communication takes a giant step forward with Maxwell Smart's shoe phone. 1966, the Star Trek communicator presages the cellular revolution without roaming charges. That's the original flip phone, too. 1984, Motorola's Dynatac 800QX is the first mobile phone for consumers. At $4,000, you have to be Gordon Gekko to afford one. 1996, the Motorola StarTAC introduces the world's first flip phone. Trekkies rejoice. 2003, the affordable Nokia 1100 helps take the cell phone mainstream, winning fans in Africa, China, India, Russia, and beyond. In 2001, Derek Zoolander's teeny tiny cell phone lampoons the trends towards ever smaller models. Today, smartphones are increasing in size. 2017, Steve Jobs unveils the iPhone, a mobile phone, music player, and internet communicator device all rolled into one. In 2009, President-elect Barack Obama refuses to give up his BlackBerry, despite national security concerns. They're going to pay it out of my hands, pry it out of my hands, he said. 2013, Sony makes a splash with the water-resistant Xperia Z for those who forget to empty pockets before doing the wash. Actually, I've done that, and it kind of was not fun for my phone. 2018, after speaking to a series of battery fires, the popular Samsung Galaxy Note 7 banned from all U.S. airlines. 2017, the iPhone X, which carries with facial recognition and OLED, but no home button, all but breaks the four-figure price barrier at $999. 21 Hidden Smartphone Superpowers. Today's phones are smarter than you probably know. Here are some of the surprising built-in things they can do to keep you safe and healthy and make life easier. Health and safety. Count your steps. Looking for a way to log your morning runs or Sunday strolls? Your phone can do that. According to our testers, the step-counting features of an Apple and Samsung phones perform as well as those on fitness trackers. On an iPhone, launch the built-in Health app and select health data and activity. On an Android phone, the latest Samsung phones include the Samsung Health app, which when activated will automatically track your steps. For most other Android phones, you'll have to download for the free Google Fit app. Let people know you're driving. Distracted driving is an ongoing safety threat. Today's phone can detect when you're at the wheel and automatically respond to incoming text messages with a note explaining that you're on the road and will be in touch later. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Do Not Disturb, Do Not Disturb While Driving, Activate. On an Android phone, go to Settings, Sound, Do Not Disturb, Turn On Automatically, Add Rule, Driving. If that doesn't work, download Google's free Android Auto app. Send out an SOS with one hand. The latest iPhones can be set to automatically call emergency service if you hold down the side button on one of the volume buttons. Once the call ends, the phone will text your chosen dozen emergency contacts and share your location. Samsung phones will have a similar feature. It won't call the authorities on its own, but when you press the power button 3 times, it will send an SOS message to the emergency contacts you specify. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Emergencies, SOS. On a Samsung phone, go to Settings, Advanced Features, Send SOS Messages. Give hearing aids a boost. With Apple's new Live Listen feature, you can turn your phone into a microphone that links to a number of compatible hearing aids. On an iPhone, go to the Settings, General, Accessibility, MFI Hearing Devices, and select your hearing aid models. On an Android phone, Google is working with manufacturer GN Hearing to provide similar support in future versions of Android. Fight eye fatigue and maybe insomnia. Reading text on a bright white screen can tire your eyes and keep you and your spouse awake. Studies show that the blue eye tones in the light trigger the nervous system to be more wakeful. But many phones let you reduce the blue light and cut the glare by casting the screen in an amber glow. In some cases, you can even schedule a stretch of time for the feature to automatically activate. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Display and Brightness, Night Shift. On an Android phone, go to Settings, Display, and Nightlight. Privacy and Peace of Mind. Lock down and erase a lost or stolen phone. If your phone goes missing, you can secure the data on it with a passcode and post a request for help on the screen to assist in the rescue effort. You can also erase the device remotely to further safeguard your personal data. Fire up your computer. Visit the following web pages and follow the directions. On an iPhone, go to iCloud.com/find. On an Android phone, go to Android.com/find. Keep tabs on a child or an elderly parent. If you have a 10-year-old who walks to school or a patient with Alzheimer's disease, you can use the location tracking technology embedded in their smartphones to monitor their travels. On an iPhone, go to Settings, your name, set up family sharing, get started and follow the instructions for location sharing. This will allow you to create an account for the child and invite other family members to share their location data. On an Android phone, download and open the free Google Family Link app and follow the instructions for setup. Make tasks easier. Find frequently used utilities fast. Stop wasting time searching for handy controls and features. Today's phones have shortcuts for quick access to the flashlight calculator, music control, Do Not Disturb mode, and other common applications. On an iPhone, swipe up from the bottom of the phone's home screen or down from the top right corner to reveal the control center. On an Android phone, swipe down from the top with 2 fingers to summon quick settings. Many phones can read the content on your screen out loud, whether that's a text message, email, or newspaper article. On an iPhone, go to Settings, General Accessibility, Speech, Speak Screen. Once enabled, you can click Open any article, then drag 2 fingers down from the top of the screen to get the reading started. You can also control the speed of the reading voice. On an Android phone, go to Settings, Accessibility, select to speak. A small icon of a person appears on the screen. Tap it and the phone begins reading. Create and send a screenshot. Want to share a photo, recipe, or other item to find online? Take a snapshot of the screen and send it to your friends. On an iPhone, depending on the model, either press, hold, and release the side and home buttons or the side and volume up buttons, then tap in the image to edit or share it. On an Android phone, press and hold the power and volume down buttons at the same time. Tap on the image to edit or share it. Now, that's something I didn't know. That's neat. Record a how-to video. If you have an iPhone, you can share any of these hidden tricks by creating a step-by-step video of what's on your iPhone screen, along with your voiceover tutorial. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Control Center, Customize Controls, and tap the Next Plus screen. Tap the plus next to screen recording. Then go to the Control Center and press the record button. On an Android phone, you have to use a third-party app. Make text and icons easier to read. With these simple ways to increase the size of fonts and icons, there's no need to squint to read text and emails on your phone. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Display and Brightness, Text Size to increase the size of icons and everything on the screen. Go to Settings, Accessibility, Zoom. On an Android phone, go to Settings, Display, Advanced, Font Size. To increase the size of everything on the screen, go to Settings, Display, Size, then a plus symbol. Use cool tools. Find people and places in your photo collection fast. Some of us have so many pictures on our phones and in the cloud that it can be daunting to find a favorite shot from a few years back. But every time you snap a photo, your phone records the time and place. And if you've chosen to identify people in your shots, you can know all that in metadata to search for the image you want. On an iPhone or Android phone, go to Photo, Search, Enter, a place name, date, and a person's name. Magnify small type. Need a little help reading that tiny type on the prescription label? Your phone's camera can serve as a magnifying glass. On iPhone, go to Settings, General, Accessibility, and Magnifier. On older models, press the Home button 3 times to activate the feature inside the camera app. On new iPhones, use the Side button. On an Android phone, go to Settings, Accessibility, Magnification. To activate, open the camera app and tap the screen 3 times. Create custom vibration alerts. Lots of people choose custom ringtones to identify who's calling, but iPhone owners can go one step further and create custom vibrations to pinpoint who's texting. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Sounds and Haptics, Text Tone, Vibration, Create New Vibration. Now, hold your finger to start the phone vibrating and release it. When you want to pause, save and name the vibration. To assign it to a specific person, find them in your contact book and open their profile. Select Edit, Text Tone, Vibration. On an Android phone, you have to use a third-party app. Shake to undo a typo. That's interesting. The iPhone Shake to Undo utility lets you erase a mistake you've typed in an email, note, or text message just by giving your phone a vigorous shake. If you erase something in error, give the phone another good shake to restore what you've deleted. On an iPhone, go to Settings, General, Accessibility, Shake to Undo. Schedule text messages. How do you say good morning to an early bird, good night to a night owl? With a well-timed text message, of course. Samsung phones let you compose and schedule one in advance. iPhones don't have a similar built-in function. On an Android phone, write your text message, click the plus button near the text field, or the 3 dots in the top right corner of the screen to open the calendar. Select the date and time and send. Track your screen time. Feel like you're wasting too much time staring at your phone? Some models now have tools to help you monitor your digital distraction. On an iPhone, go to Settings, Screen Time. On an Android phone, if you own an iPixel or an OnePlus phone, you can download Google's free digital well-being app. Those with other models can use Google Family Link app to monitor their kids' screen time. Share your exact location in a text message. Send a map of your location by text so that your friends can easily find you an unfamiliar place on an iPhone. On an iPhone, open a text message, tap the circle icon at the top of the screen, select Info, Send My Current Location. On an Android phone, open Google Maps, press and hold your finger on your current location until a card listing the address pops up, then hit Share Messages. Control your cursor. It's hard to accurately move the tiny cursor on your phone with your chubby fingers. Here's a pearl-proof way to do it. On an iPhone, press and hold any key on the keyboard. When the keyboard turns gray, it functions as a trackpad, letting you easily move the cursor around the text. On an Android phone, press and hold the space bar and slide your finger left or right. Turn your phone into a toolbox. You can now use an iPhone as a measuring tape and a carpenter's level without downloading a third-party app. On an iPhone, open the Measure app and top Measure or Less at the bottom of the screen. When you point the camera at the object you wish to measure, it will appear in the screen behind a floating gold dot. Tap the plus sign on the screen when the dot is at the starting point for the measurement, and again after you move the dot to the end point. The level function lets you straighten pictures using a digital interface on the phone. On an Android phone, these tools don't come built in, but you can download the Google Measure Quick Everyday Measurements app. Let's run through a few of the ratings here that they've done. $450 less, the Apple iPhone 7 got a 75. The Huawei Mate 9 got a 75 as well. The OnePlus 5T got a 74. The Motorola Moto Z2 Play got a 74. The Sony Xperia 71 Compact got a 73. $451 to $750, the Samsung Galaxy S9 got an 81. The Apple iPhone XR got an 80. The Samsung Galaxy S8 got an 80. The Apple iPhone 8 Plus got a 79. The Apple iPhone 8 also got a 79. The Huawei Mate 10 Pro got a 78. The LG V35 Thin Q got a 77. The LG G6 and LG G7 both got 77s. OnePlus 6, Samsung Galaxy S7 also got 77s. The HTC U11, never heard of that one, got 76. The Apple iPhone 7 Plus got a 76. $751 and more, the Samsung Galaxy Note 9 got an 83. The Apple XS, iPhone XS got an 82. The Apple iPhone XS Plain got an 82. The Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus got an 81. The Samsung Galaxy S8 Active got a 79. The LG 430 got a 79. The Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus got a 79. The Apple iPhone X got a 78. And the Samsung Galaxy Note got a 78. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest Consumer Reports. This is Jim Cronin reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor of one of our programs, please call us at 919-832-5138. Hope you have a wonderful day today, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.